Don't miss a minute of Ruined It's for Breakfast on the Catch Up.
For the Hospital Research Home Lottery.
104.7 Triple M.
Still reliving Friday night too, Ru. We were down at the Adelaide Oval, 28,000 people.
Yeah, it was great. I hope we can continue to use that call forever. I love Michael Werbuffer. What a great night it was, Dits. It was a good atmosphere. I know, you know, the boxing, some people would say was good or wasn't great, but I had a really good night down there.
Look, mixed reaction. And from what I can gather, Ru, you and I are a little bit lucky. We got to sit in some nice seats and we had dinner down there on the Oval. However, if you sat in the stands, I think the review was a little bit different.
But I watched the screen most of the time anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know about yourself. I was sort of probably 50 metres from the ring.
Yeah.
And I found myself flicking between that and the screen. And it was just the atmosphere and the people there and the vibe of the thing, if I can quote.
There's so much to talk about, and we're going to cover it all through the morning. I want to know the rules because everyone is saying, everyone, including my boxing expert, Kate Dittmar, says that, oh, Mundine won that. She said, Mundine won.
Yeah.
She said, definitely won. This is
right. Yeah, the girls turned in.
And I said, and you're basing this on what? Well, I just know. I just know that he
won.
Yeah, so, you know, experts like Kate have convinced me that.
Listen, I think 90% of people thought that he won, but also thought he should have been disqualified for that punch at the start. That was the heaviest punch of the fight, and it was illegal.
The best one that landed.
It was.
Yeah, but anyway, so much to talk about. And the other one is a bit of a Fonzie moment for me. I was wrong. AFL women's football, bloody hell.
Well, it started Friday night. We didn't get to see it because we were at the fight, but they had a lockout there. Gil was apologising to him, full house. But then most importantly, it was actually pretty good footy.
Yeah.
I watched it again Saturday morning before the Crows GWS women's game, and they crack in. And I had a really good afternoon down there because I've been in that basket of people where we'll just wait and see how it goes. I haven't written it off, but I didn't think it would definitely work either. But the raw passion, they just want to play footy. They've been held back so long. They just want to get out there, and that's the way they're playing. I think it's even when you go and watch Port or when I go and watch the Crows, if they win or lose, obviously you want them to win, but one thing you definitely want them to do is have a crack at trying their best.
Yep,
and the girls, the last minute of the Crows game, it was well and truly over. They were starting to get stuck into each other. There was going to be a blue out there. They were right into it right to the end. So I think they're going to win over people if they continue to play with that much passion.
Yep. So much to talk about this morning. You can join in at any time. 133353.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
All right, now let's go back to Friday night, the fight. Now, Ru, you've got a theory that Green actually fought. When I say a theory, I think a lot of people probably agree with you. He fought concussed after that. What happened in the first round?
Yep, the hardest punch of the night was landed, and it was illegal, and he got docked a point, Mundine, for it, and he had blurred vision and concussion after that, and that makes it a hell of a lot harder.
I'm done, mate. That's me. Finished boxing. pretty cool way to go out. Yeah, I can't beat that. I can't beat going out like that. It was a very tough fight, and you know, Chock really kind of stepped up and gave me a hell of a contest, you know. Literally a first minute in the round, the first round, I didn't think I was actually, the referee was going to stop it. And I was like, man, this can't be happening. This is a nightmare. It's all going so fast, Cody, so you don't really remember what's going on, man, but it was a very, very debilitating shot. It really stung early, and it was clearly a foul. But I think the referee should have given me time to recover as well, but he didn't give me any time, so it made it really hard.
Now, you're telling me, Ru, I wasn't aware of this. There's a rule where if you get some cheap shot like that or a foul punch, you can have up to 5 minutes to recover.
Yeah, well, that's what Green's saying. I didn't actually know that myself, but that's what he's saying. And he needed it. Danny Green, what he's known for, has been able to take a punch. But he buckled and went down for that. He was gone. And, so not only did he not get the 5 minutes, but the whole fight could have nearly been called off, which would have been a disaster for everyone concerned, but they probably would have had to come back in a month or two.
Yeah. All right, let's move on because we are going to cover off on the big fight later on with some experts. I want the scoring explained to me. I want to, because All the Xboxes are saying Mundine won.
Yeah. Yet
three judges score it the other way. So I want all of that explained. We'll get to that later on.
One called it a draw. One said it was, he just won 96-94, and one got it completely wrong, 98-90.
Yeah. Amazing. Today's the one day of the year, Roo, where a lot of your friends pretend they know everything about American football. And they go, oh, yeah, Brady's the best quarterback in the game. And Freddie Smith, he's the best running back. Mm. And the Patriots are going to win because, you know, I followed them all year and... Yeah, and they all bullshit.
And they all get half a day off.
They do. And then for the rest of the year, they never, ever mention it again, and they've got no idea.
And it's the only day they drink Budweiser for the
Correct.
Year as well.
Yeah.
The only day it's on year it's ever on special.
But then they'll say to you, no, I've always followed the Patriots. No, I've been on them for years, yeah.
It is getting bigger in Australia, there's no doubt about it. And a few people like to go over for it, but there will be a lot of people sitting around this morning watching it unfold. There'll be a few pubs that'll have it on out there.
Yeah. Halftime entertainment, Lady Gaga.
Yeah, she's on, and that's always the highlight. And it's to advertise during the Super Bowl this year, $5 million for 30 seconds.
Similar to Ruined It's for Breakfast.
Yeah, our live reads are just a little bit shorter than that. But $5 million for 30 seconds if you want to get on Super Bowl.
Yeah. But if you want value for money, get on Ruined It's.
Mm.
Moving on, a young Australian who's really making a name for herself. This little girl's gone viral. It's gone everywhere. And she's made some appearances on the Ellen Show. She's a young surfer. You might have seen her. Her name's Sabre Norris. Have a listen to this.
And you had the buffet there?
Oh, that. I knew that was going to be a 10 out of 10, but it was even better than what I thought. And even going to a buffet, it's kind of like gambling. Because like, you've got to eat more than what the price is. That's how you win. So say if it's $20 to go in there, you've got to eat 30.
Yeah.
That's how you win.
Yeah.
No. I like winning.
Yeah. Who doesn't like winning? Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So you went to the buffet and you won.
Very shy little girl. She has the potential to be more annoying than Mindy Irwin, doesn't she? Anyway, if you want to check it out, she's quite funny. Sabre Norris, a young Australian girl.
Ruined It's for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Here comes Van Hagen. She's got plenty of speed, keeps it low.
Oh, clever.
This is the first time that Phillips has got involved. She fires off the handball to Gibson,
and
who's got speed to burn from right on 50. She nails it.
And the beast is in the ruck.
I think by the end of the game, they'll all have nicknames, thanks to you, Ruth. Thrown up, and Beast gets it down to Dana Cox. And a slice of history for the Adelaide Crows. A win at home to open their campaign. And they send a statement to the rest of the competition.
A lockout Friday night for Collingwood Carlton. 9,000 people at Theberton Oval here in Adelaide on Saturday. Roo, what a success.
No, it was a huge success. A really, really good atmosphere. Genuine, passionate atmosphere there. And there was 9,000 people there. It was wet. The car park was chock-a-block. They wouldn't have let any more cars in. And just a really good feeling around the Oval.
Well, this man, I'm sure every father was proud, but none more so than this fella, because he's watched his daughter, Erin Phillips, grow. She was a very good young footballer, Roo, was forced really to choose another sport, went into basketball, and as we know, became an Olympian and just a superstar in every way. And as I said, this fella would be pretty proud, I reckon. Greg Phillips, good morning.
We're the pride of South Australia.
Shut up.
Hey. Oh, sorry, mate. I'm just trying to learn. I'm trying to learn the word, mate. I'm trying to learn the word.
I never, ever thought I'd see the day.
Did it hurt saying go the Crows, Greg? It sounds so genuine. Yeah.
I think you called it, Paul. Roo, I don't think I said it real proud enough, but, good fun, mate. That was a good day.
Wasn't it a great atmosphere? Like, I was in the bus, I said earlier on in the show, that I didn't know whether this was going to work or not. I thought I'd wait and see how it goes. But you could really see the enthusiasm from the girls. They have just wanted to play football for a couple of years. They were crashing in. They did it the whole game. And the last minute of the game was as ferocious as anything.
Oh, too right, Ruth. Look, I stood down, my wife and other family were up in the grandstand, but I stood out in the front of the grandstand in the rain and got involved with everyone. And look, and I was around a heap of guys, and I couldn't believe they were actually getting involved in that, you know, and clapping and yelling out and getting involved as a normal game. The most exciting part that I seen was, you know, not only the good footy that the girls were trying to produce, and it was just the little kids in the crowd and a lot of little girls and, with their Crow Guernseys on and, you know, really involved in, and it was like a real little family, you know, affair sort of thing. And I thought to myself, you know, when Aaron was growing up, these little kids sort of, you know, wanting to play sport or watch sport, and just to see all these kids enjoying themselves, I reckon it was just a fantastic day.
Greg, you must have some memories of when she was such a... She was a very, very good junior footballer. We know she won medals and things in the boys' comp, and then she must have reached an age where I guess you were told as a family that she won't be able to play. It must have been really tough for her at the time.
Yeah, it's her idea. She actually won the best and fairest at her last year for the Smosh West Lakes in the boys, and she made the made the West Torrens... They're in the. She made the development squad to, you know, the best in the area. So she was playing for Woodville West Torrens and that sort of thing. So she played all that. Yeah, got told, and yeah, I'm just glad that she ended up bumping into Rachel Spawn, and then Rachel Spawn sort of was playing. You know, naturally she was the basketball king, and Aaron sort of said, "Oh well, I'm going to try to play basketball now." So it was sort of swung over from there. But yeah, she was an exciting little kid. Loved the footy. I remember quickly that I was. Had a family day in Port Adelaide. We're all, you know, there having a barbecue and all the kids on the oval, and she just didn't see Aaron all day, just out there kicking the footy with the boys playing. We actually went home and we were just getting Rachel and Amy ready for bed. We said, "Where's Aaron? We forgot you. We left on the oval." I went back there. The lights are on. She's still out there kicking. I said, "Okay, Aaron, time to go home. Let's go."
And what a safe place to leave her down there too at Albert and Oval. No problems there. Hey, Greg, what's something that you can remember out of just Aaron over the last few months? What she said to you about the opportunity she's got for footy, is there something that's stands out about how, you know, happy she is or lucky she is to play?
When Paul were trying to get in, like, she was just super excited to think that maybe they'd get in and she'd have the opportunity. And when they missed out, you know, like, she kind of said, "Oh, Dad, the Crows are asked, you know, what do you think?" I said, "Aaron, you're 31, love, you know, just, you know, your dream's been it, just go and, you know, have a go, you know, and just do it." And, you know, just seeing the look on her face, you know, even at 31, it sort of, she went back, you know, 20 years, she was just really excited kid. And I said, "Look, you know, go for it, because, you know, you never know, the opportunities, you know, don't come, you know, that's come now, but weren't coming before." And look, and, you know, she's had a little bit of an injury on the way, but she's got herself together and she's just a professional athlete. So, and she does everything right and eats everything right. So, you know, it's a credit for Aaron that just, you know, to where she is in life, really.
Mm. Yeah. Greg, brilliant stuff. We can hear the excitement in your voice, mate. And well done to everyone over the weekend that was involved. It was a great spectacle. And what, they got another big game this Friday, I think, against the Bulldogs.
Yeah, mate, they're heading into Melbourne, so which is pretty good, because my other daughter, Amy, she got her kids that are there. They're excited watching them, the Fox and all that sort of thing. So she's just excited for her sister to get better get together and go and support her as well. Because and you know, they probably know her husband Sean Burgoyne, and Sean's been involved and wishing her well. So yeah, a big family thing, mate. And like I said, it's not only Aaron's excitement in life. You know, I just seen all the other girls. You know, you don't have to look at when they kick a goal or do something well or tackle. You know, they really get involved and they love it. And you know, and me with having three girls and had girls in my house all my life, you know, I sort of got an idea how the girls tick, and I think it's just exciting for them.
Nah, brilliant stuff. Well done.
Just give us one more go of the Crows, Greg. Please, if you can. Just wrap, just for dicks, please. Just one more. Come on.
I'll just practice off here. Oh, here we go. We're the Pride.
Get off. Beautiful. Get off. Get on here. Well done. Greg Phillips.
And he'll be singing that in the bar at the Port Adelaide Football Club. Doesn't he still do Sandy Arvo's?
I think he does, yeah. Played over 400 games of league footy, Greg Phillips.
He'll get the sack. For sure.
Could you imagine? Hey, look, if you're at Thebe Oval over the weekend, we'd love to hear from you. 133353. What impressed you? You can tell in his voice how up and about he is. He clearly loved it, and he's a proud bloke.
Has your credit card had its way with every FPOS machine in and out of town over the holidays?
Spent a fair bit of money.
Good news. Triple M can get you back in the black.
Thanks, guys. Much appreciated.
Drop off your bills now at triplem.com.au so we can sort them for you. Any bill, any amount.
That'll solve a lot of problems.
We pay more bills today at 8, 10, 12 and 2. Triple M's back in the black.
Top of 24 and morning rain today. Now, Roo, from our vantage point here, high up in this building, it's like pea soup out there, isn't it?
Is it June, is it?
That's what it looks like.
I come
like.
Through the Adelaide Hills at 7 o'clock last night.
Yep.
And
thanks for dropping in.
Yeah. I thought you'd be in bed, mm-hmm. your beauty sleep. But the speed limits were restricted because there was fog. You could
poor
not see
visibility.
50 metres in front of you.
Well, it's going to be a very, very strange week of weather. I saw this on the 7 News. Let's find out more. Let's go to the weather presenter around there at Channel 7, Amelia Mulcaig. Amelia, good morning. Hello, Amelia. Hello, are you there?
Hello, how are you going?
Amelia, good. We're going to be a little bit up and down this week, aren't we?
It's very up and down this week, actually.
We're talking 40 on Wednesday or something like that, and up to 15 mils of rain today?
Yeah, look, I don't think that 15 millimetres of rain is sort of in the total that we're getting right now as well.
Okay, so
just a huge chunk of rain, really, yesterday and today, and they just kind of spread it out over the 2 days.
Yeah. How do you have weather like we're having yesterday and today, where there's low-level cloud and fog and rain, and then within 24 to 48 hours we're hitting 40?
Well, with the low cloud, and even like I was at Victor on the weekend, and there was sort of a bit of sea mist and sea fog, and normally you need slightly warmer conditions for fog to actually occur. Anyway.
Right, okay.
Yeah. So, but I mean, it's very tropical weather that we're sort of having. And then, later in the week, it's going to go back to Adelaide summer, really.
Now, from when you're out at the Bureau and you're discussing this with them, tell me, are they suggesting that, I don't feel we've had a real hot summer. There's been the odd sort of hot day, but we haven't had any of those real hot streaks. No. Are we going to sort of head on into, March and April this year, do you think? Is that what they're predicting with some hot weather or not?
It's so funny because everyone always says that to me. And I think because everyone thinks of the summer in 2010 or a little bit earlier, where we had those days of 45 degrees and people really pull on that.
Yep.
Would you believe this summer has actually been about a degree warmer than average?
Really?
And so, the average daytime temperatures for Adelaide in January and February are actually 29 degrees. But of course, we can get those fluctuations where you do see the temperatures over 40. We are definitely getting a huge taste of summer towards the end of the week. Hard to believe if you look out the window right now.
Yeah, it is.
But I know what you're saying. But, and that was an extreme summer. And I think a lot of people, it's funny, even if, you sort of say, we're in for a hot end to the week and it will be 37, people will turn around and be like, we've had 45 before. And I think everyone's sort of used to those extremes and pull upon them. And, once you've sort of had one of those really hot days, going back to 37, it's not that hot, is it?
Nah, 37's fine.
Okay. Run. Now, Amelia, with your job, tell me, when you're out and you're filling up the car with petrol or you're at the supermarket, does everyone want to know what the weather is?
People sometimes, people do ask. Well, people just like talking about weather. And I think that's probably I'm a loser here, but that's the coolest thing because that kind of goes, hey, you're interested in that. And I might write in what they're saying in a script. Everyone wants to know about this today.
Good on you, Amelia. Thanks for taking our call and we'll see Amelia.
One thing I will quickly tell you is that I think if we get enough rain today, I think we'll probably have, I know we're talking about warm summers, but I think this is our wettest summer since 1974.
Wow. 1974.
So, there's a stat.
There you go. Yeah, I know, right? I don't tell anything, guys.
Good on, Amelia. Thanks for that, Amelia Mulcahy from Channel 7.
Triple M.
Roo, on a Monday morning, what we like to do is just open the phones up. It's our forum here. If you want to comment on anything that happened over the weekend, it might be the women's footy, could be the boxing, could be anything to do whatsoever, give us a ring, 133353. In fact, we've got a couple of callers on the line now. Let's go to our first caller. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Ruboy. Good morning, Dad. It's Tommy Taichi.
Tommy, you're back from around in Goodger Street. What's your restaurant called, Tommy?
Oh, you come down. It's called the New Jade Imperial Golden Moon Dragon Rickshaw Peking Mandarin Inn.
You would have been busy over the weekend with everything on in Adelaide, wouldn't you?
I want to talk about that. I want to talk about the women's football,
Okay.
They're very successful, crowds sell out, crowd go everywhere, You'll get Tommy's restaurant front page of Tizer, front page and back page. Then you'll televise from Tommy's kitchen, said, this is best thing ever.
Mm.
And you know how much it was to get into the football to see the girl play?
How much?
Free!
Free me. I cut that thing. You not pay 1 yen. If you say to that, you come down and Tommy, you get Tommy's banquet for nothing, put on front page, you televise, you'll get 50,000 people.
Yeah, well, you're right. Tommy. You make a fair point, Tommy. Yeah, I didn't know it was free.
Well, you know, one more thing. If you come down to Tommy's today, I have special. You order number 51 on menu. You get big wok-sized bowl. You get everything, chicken in it, mushroom, the whole lot. You know what I call it?
What?
I call it today 51 Super Bowl.
51 Super Bowl. Very good, Tommy.
Yeah,
thanks,
well
mate.
Done, Tommy.
All right, let's go to our next caller. Hello, good morning.
Christopher.
Hello, who's that?
It's Helen from Hindley Street.
Yes, Helen.
Where were the tickets for the match?
Which match?
The boxing match.
I
anyway, that's in the past now. You know, I've run my business for a long time.
Right.
I do out calls. I do in-house.
Mm-hmm.
I had one client. I want to apologize to Kylie.
Kylie?
A client came in months ago. His name was Joshua. I said, do you want relaxation, Reiki, deep tissue for circulation? And I have made a new moisturizer.
Right.
It's made of Kenyan coffee beans and oil.
Mm.
I said, Joshua, it's time to apply the mocha lotion.
Right.
He spun over. I can't tell you what happened.
Right.
I'm sorry, Kylie.
Okay. Thanks, Helen. Helen from down there. We've got time for one more call. Hello, good morning.
Yeah, g'day. Is that Ruin Dits?
Yeah.
Yeah, g'day, mate. It's John Farnham.
Farnsy.
Hey, Farnsy.
What can we do for you?
Yeah, mate. I was talking with Glenn last night, you know. Yeah. I love it. It's great entertainment. There was a fantastic crowd and all that. And, you know, it doesn't have to be their last one, mate. They say it's the last one.
Oh, really? Yeah. No.
No, mate, it worked for me. I reckon they've got, sincerely, Glenn and I reckon they've got another 12 fights in them. I'll get Glenn to give it a ring. See you, mate.
See you. Farnsy, get on your
Farnsy.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
The winner by majority decision, the Green Machine, Danny Green.
Wow. Vengeance is Danny Green. 11 years on.
Rue, it was controversial. It was an unbelievable night down at the Adelaide Oval. I've got to say, though, every spiv, hitman, conman, racketeer, thug and fugitive from around Australia flew in.
Yep.
It was an odd crowd, but we loved it. The atmosphere was good. However, when they announced the decision, as I said to you earlier, the biggest expert in boxing I know, my wife, said, there's no way in the world. Mundine won that fight. And then, since then, I've heard Barry Michael, I've heard Jeff Fenwick, and all of the people that actually know what's going on.
I haven't seen anyone say Green won.
No, including this man, Paul Kent, senior writer for News Limited. He was commentating on the night for Fox. And he joins us now. Paul Kent, good morning.
Good morning, you guys.
Paul, first up, I think it's funny where we all sit there and everyone at my table said, oh, Mundine won that. And we actually don't know what we're talking about. None of us really know how you actually score a boxing match. Are you able to explain that to us, please?
Oh, look, yeah, look, and there's no simple answer to that. Look, what they look at is, in amateur boxing, what they do is actually score how many punches land. But what that doesn't account for is the power of a punch free. You know, for example, an overhand right's far more damaging to an opponent than a left jab. So what happens there is, boxing, they just get the judges in, and essentially they look for a variety of things, and they basically make a judgment call on it. So they look at who controls that round, who lands the most punches, who lands the heavier punches, who had the greater display of boxing in defence, things like that. So they basically factor all those in. For a very simple rule for people at home who don't really know what they're looking at is who is in the middle of the ring. It's a little bit like a chessboard. If you control the middle of the chessboard, you're in control of the game.
Yep.
And if you're in control of the middle of the ring, and you're stalking your opponent, then there's a fair chance you're on top. Some boxers do like to retreat. They do like to move away, and that's how they fight. But generally, as a rule, if you're in the middle of the ring, you're the one that's taking the action to the other fighter, then you're the one who's dictating the fight. Therefore, you're winning the round.
Paul, out of 10 people that you hang around with in the boxing fraternity, how many out of 10 said that Green won the fight?
Zero.
Righto.
Yeah,
that's unbelievable. Yeah, that's incredible. Now,
that's interesting. And we've heard that this is tarnishing boxing and all of that sort of stuff. One question I want to ask you is that illegal punch that Mundine did in the first round, should the fight have been called off after that? Because Green was rocked. He went down. He didn't have time to recover. He was a different man. He looked tired the whole fight. It's 10 or 20 times harder to fight when you got blurred vision or concussion. And it was clearly an illegal punch by Mundine. Should it have been stopped then, or at absolute minimum, he should have got a 5-minute break?
Yeah, it should have been stopped. Mundine should have been disqualified then. Now, Danny Green has since said there would have been a riot if it had, and there would have been, and everybody would have walked away from boxing and said, that will do me, I will never come back.
Yeah.
But technically, the fight should have, Mundine should have been disqualified, because when I saw Danny first begin to crumble, I thought he's foxing. I thought he was just sort of playing to the crowd a little bit. But then suddenly you looked at his eyes, one of his eyes was actually crooked, and he was gone. And at the very least, the referee, who's an experienced referee and a good referee, but I don't know what was going through his head, at the very least, he should have given Danny, because it was a foul and because it was significant enough that he did deduct Mundine a point, at the very least, he should have said, Danny, you've got 5 minutes to sit down and recover. But I just think it's because it was so early in the fight, it was the moment, it was so big, it just went against everything that was really happening. You couldn't have, after 30 seconds, you couldn't have disqualified the fighters because we just would have walked out, wouldn't we?
Definitely.
They would have burned down brand new stadium, wouldn't they?
You're absolutely right. Talking about boxing's reputation, look, I must admit, I really enjoyed it, Paul. I had a fantastic night down at the Oval. However, what about one of the undercard fights? Quade Cooper fighting that 22-year-old fat kid, chubby kid, from Harvey Bay. That was disgraceful.
Who's since retired.
That doesn't do boxing any favours at all.
No, it's embarrassing. Look, I'm not a Quade Cooper fan, and I'll say, but on that night, that's the first thing I've seen Quade Cooper do that I've really admired, because he was put in a situation where
he couldn't
win. Embarrassing to him. Yeah, he couldn't win. He couldn't win. He goes out and he beats up this kid, and everyone says, well, mate, you beat up the special needs kid at school here. Mm. Like, That's what it looked like, but he tried to look after the kid at the same time he needed to try and win the fight, and he got through it. But he really needs to go to his manager, and he needs to say to his manager, you have really embarrassed me, and you should never put me in this situation again. But most of all, Main Event needs to go back to the promoter, who also happens to be the same person, and say, this is it now, no more, because too many times these sorts of fights have been put on the undercard. Quade Cooper has had 3 fights now, and they're against 3 people who,
shouldn't be fighting. Hey, Paul, will there be a rematch? I know there's a bit of speculation about potentially when the new stadium opens in Perth, an old 60,000 there. I'm not saying they'd get 60 to it, but now it's 1-1. Mundine's furious that he's lost and should have won. And I know Danny Green's also said he's finished. Will there be a third fight?
I hope not. I don't think there will. I think Danny will ride off into the sunset. I think Mundine might fight again. I think both fighters should retire. I think they both should have retired some years ago, because when you cut through it, although it was competitive and although it was genuine, the dislike for each other, it was 2 old men fighting the other night. They were a long way from their best, and they tried hard. You can't knock their effort, but the reflexes are shot. Danny was gone very early in the fight. I know that the illegal punch had a lot to do with that, but the fight was just, it wasn't a standard that warranted the response from Australia. It was Jeff Fenwick and Azuma Nelson when they fought in Melbourne 25 years ago. That was a bigger fight, and that was 2 fighters near their peak. This was almost, you know, as big from a crowd point of view, and it was far bigger from a pay-per-view point of view, and unfortunately, though, the fighters, they just don't have it anymore. It's a little bit of a textbook case of the gullibility of a general public. We all fell for it. We all thought, oh, well, they're fighting in, great to see who wins. And very few people actually realise that they're just 12 men now.
Paul, interesting comments. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. Paul Kent, senior writer for News Limited and also commentated for Fox on Friday night.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
823, Ruined Dits for Breakfast, all thanks to the Hospital Research Home Lottery. Roo, reading yesterday in the press right around the country, Pauline Hanson, who we speak to from time to time, has got some interesting views on if her party was to take over, and they are gaining momentum. If she was to be PM one day, she's got some interesting policies she wants to introduce, so I thought we'd get her on. Pauline Hanson, good morning.
Good morning. Is that Dits?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Dits.
How are you going? Yeah, good. Now, there's all different ones that we could cover off on. First of all, I guess one of the most interesting ones was about your prenup idea, where you've said, you've suggested that every single couple in the country that gets married should have a prenup. You believe there's pressure on the courts at the moment. Is that correct?
Oh, definitely. I've actually been speaking to a judge with relation to this and fully supports it. He said the pressure on the courts and people who break up from relationships, they don't even have to be married, even in de facto relationships. He said the time and also the money involved in this. So he said, you know, couples that come in, they've got a couple of properties. By the time they go through the procedures and the cost, you know, solicitors are just ripping them off. Well, you know, it's a job. Okay, so they're getting a lot of money out of it. And he said, if you had a prenup, a compulsory prenup arrangement, so that you can say, okay, this is yours. And my view is, if you own a house before you get married, that's your home. If you build something together in your relationship, well, then fine, split that. But, you know, I think there's too many people out there, whether male or female, gold diggers. They see someone with assets and that. And it's true. It happens. Oh, and they just say, all right, I'm going to be there in this relationship for, you know, a 6 months or a year or whatever. And I hear it all the time. People are losing their assets and it's wrong.
Well, and it's mentally fatiguing. Amy, we all have got examples of friends who have gone through it and it just drags on for years and the only winners are the lawyers. So I agree with you on that one. That could definitely work. What about your idea? No GST, but was it everyone
2% flat
everyone
rate.
Pay 2% on that? How did that work?
Well, we're actually looking at this. I brought it out in 1998 in the election at that time. Now, quite interesting, since then, there was an interview between another radio station, Alan Jones, and a senator from New Mexico. The governor of New Mexico is looking at this scheme, and he was saying, speaking very highly of it, they're actually doing their costings on it and see if it will work. It's basically a 2% flat tax. Like we have the GST, but no one will be able to claim it back. So it gets rid of all your income tax, or your stamp duty, land taxes, all your other taxes gone. So right across the board, everything is 2% on it. This
2% on top of what you already pay, do you mean, on your income tax?
No, there's no income tax. That is your 2%. So everyone that pays it, all these multinational companies, everyone in Australia. Now,
right.
Case in point, Origin Energy has a turnover of $12.6 billion, never paid 1 cent of tax.
Where's right? that? Who owns that? What is it, an overseas company, Origin?
No, actually, I need to further investigate that. And I know this other company, see, that Chinese company wants to buy out Rio Tinto. They actually looked at their subsidiary companies. They don't pay tax in Australia. You look at IKEA, $1 billion turnover, $30 million tax. You've got Apple, they're investigating. All these multinational companies don't pay their tax in Australia. It will rein them in. It will rein in big companies, big businesses that write off their taxes and actually have transfer pricing. So this is a big deal in Australia. I don't believe in increasing your GST, which the government's hinting at, to increase it to 15%.
Mm.
The only people that will hit is middle-income earners, people who pay, you know, are paying for the extra tax, and they're getting nothing back out of it. We are one of the highest tax countries in the world. We need a new taxation system.
Mm.
But look, guys, I'm just throwing this out there. We need to debate these issues. Let's have a look at costings. Let's look at the turnover. And we have to get it right, because then we will have the money to pay for new infrastructure, roads, hospitals, schools, all this. We're hitting $500 billion that we owe. Federally, we can't keep going the way that we're going. The system we have is broken and it's not working.
You make some good points. Pauline, just finally, you've said where you didn't get into politics to sit on a backbench and just waste your time there for the rest of your days. How realistic is it for One Nation to one day be one of the major parties? And when I say that, I'm not saying you're not a major party, but you know what I mean, the Labor versus Liberal. How realistic is it?
I think, look, in time, I've got into this, and yes, I started a political party. And why you do that is that you can eventually then build on it, like the Liberal Party did, the National Party started, the Greens started that way. And the whole fact is, if you build strong foundations and you build from there, it's like anything, if you're in a business, whatever you do, build the strong foundations. If I can prove to the people that One Nation is truly there to represent them, the people want change. They're sick of what we've had with the Liberal, the Labor, the Nationals and the Greens. And the whole fact is they've treated us like we've taken us for granted, and they've treated us like mushrooms. If we want this country to prosper again, we have to have new ideas, new vision, new leadership, and someone who's prepared to do things. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be me, but this is the foundations I'm building. So hopefully in time, either the political parties change their attitudes towards the voters, otherwise the voters will be turning to someone else to vote for. Mm. And that's what I'm trying to do. Put Pauline, pressure on them. You will only get good government if you've got good opposition, and we don't have that.
All right, Pauline, I admire you for always getting out there and having a crack and having a go, and thanks so much for talking to us this morning.
Thanks, guys.
There
always
you go.
A pleasure.
Pauline Bye. Hanson. And Ruth, look, as we say, don't always agree with everything she says, but that's all politicians.
Yeah,
but
she's
thought-provoking.
Well, there's a lot of people out that have had messy divorce. I haven't heard of too many of actually gone through it pretty quickly. So that whole family law area definitely needs tidying up.
Well, you and I were talking earlier this morning. I mean, we know someone who can't afford it, but right now has paid $10,000 in legal fees and is no closer to being divorced.
2 years down the track.
Yeah.
Messy
ass. And they're the sorts of stories,
the
they're
exactly
the stories
what
we don't
talking
like.
About.
Yeah.
Yep.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
It is Super Bowl Sunday, though, in America, Roo.
Time for a Budweiser.
Time for a Bud. Now, Roo, for someone like me that grew up watching the great game of AFL, I do not get American football. I don't understand the hype, the excitement.
Do you follow any American sports?
No. Don't understand.
Basketball, baseball.
No. But can I tell you, though, the lucky Kate, her nephew is Charlie Filkey.
Yes.
Now, Charlie is 15, and he is obsessed with this game, and he knows it inside out, so I thought I'd get him on to explain. Charlie, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
You on your way to school?
I'm at school now.
Righto. Now, Charlie, what is it about this game of American football that you love so much? You come from an AFL family. Your father played league football. Your uncle Grantley was a champion. He won a McGarry medal. Why are you obsessed with the American game?
Oh, well, I suppose I just love the big hits and the, well, I suppose just the kind of the strategy behind the game.
The strategy?
Yep.
Well, tell me more. Like, why? Isn't it just the quarterback gets it and he throws it and he's just the star and no one else gets to touch the ball?
Oh, well, the strategy is that, well, the quarterback, he has to know the playbook, which has about over 200 plays in it, and he has to memorise that and then choose a play to decide where to pass the ball before he passes it.
Well, that's complicated. You got to know. There's no doubt if you've got 200 plays. Who's going to win? Are the Patriots the favourites or the Atlanta?
Yeah, the Patriots are the favourites. I'm hoping Atlanta wins, but I think that the Patriots will win. I think they're just too strong.
So who's the quarterback for the other mob? We know about Tom Brady. Who's the other quarterback?
Well, Matt Ryan's the quarterback for the Falcons. He's just won the MVP yesterday.
Right.
He wasn't the most famous quarterback at the start of the season, but he's had an outstanding season and has just been thrust into stardom, I suppose.
Mm. How many of your mates, and you're 15, what that age group, how many people at that age are starting to follow American sport?
Well, I suppose I've got about four or five mates who love it as well, and then there's a big bunch who just kind of follow on the Super Bowl day as well.
Now, Charlie, just as quickly as you can, tell us about the day I was around your house and you had a Super Bowl game in the backyard. Tell me about, there were change rooms, there was a race erected, there was all sorts of things. Tell us about that.
Well, my brother, he has a lot of mates who love the NFL as well, and I had a few of my mates over, he had a few of his mates over, and, well, we got into two teams and then we decided to take it pretty seriously. We got into two different change rooms, and then we had line paint out there, and then we just
We
smashed each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, smashed each other.
And
yeah.
My wife, being a physio, Roo, she had a bit of work to do. We were just sitting there on our own, having a wine, coincidentally. And we look out, and there's a big backyard, and they're playing this game. And in the end, Kate had to get out and be a physio. There were kids getting bashed and crashed. And
is your brother older or younger?
He's older than me.
Yeah, right, so you lost then.
Yeah.
Now, Charlie, just finally, only a few weeks ago, you went to a game over there. Tell us about it.
Oh, well, it was. Well, I went to America. It came back about 2 weeks ago, but that was by far my most favourite part of the trip, was just going to the game. It was just the spectacle behind it as well as the actual game as well.
And who did you go and see?
We went to see the Philadelphia Eagles versus the New York Giants on Thursday night.
Right.
Cool.
And compare that to going to an AFL game at the Adelaide Oval.
Well, they're both really good, but I think just the NFL, just because of the sheer spectacle behind the game, just all of the extra things they do apart from just the game that's played.
Oh, so the game's crap. It's all the other stuff that's good.
No. The game's great as well, but the other stuff just adds to the spectacle.
Right. All right, Charlie. Good on you, mate. Have a
good
day at
Charlie.
School. And thanks for explaining it to us.
All right.
There you go.
Good on you, Charlie.
And, Roo, it's true. I've got to tell you now, I don't know if this is an isolated case, but when we go around to their house, there are kids everywhere wearing NFL strips, and they play this game all the time. They love it.
They do. A lot of the AFL footballers now, they're into it.
Are they?
Yep, huge.
All right, it's Super Bowl day today.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined It's for Breakfast on the catch-up.
For the Hospital Research Home Lottery.
104.7 Triple M.